Mark chapter 1 for our lesson tonight. Mark chapter 1. We're just going to look at one verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And the gospel according to Mark says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine on our drive-in. Lord, we thank you for the rain that we've got. Lord, we know that you know that we need it, Lord, and that everything comes from you. Lord, I do pray for this time together. I do pray that you would use me to say something that would bring honor and glory to your holy name. Lord, I do pray for ears to hear. Lord, that we can leave here a better person, a better people. And Lord, we can learn from your son Jesus this example of prayer. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I got to preach up in the mountains this morning, and one of the common themes that I learned from our Sunday school and our preaching hour was to have a solid testimony. And that testimony is in the form of how we are portrayed by the people of the world, not only as an individual, but also as a church, as the body of Christ, as a Christian, you know, as something that we should be paying attention to. And one of the things that is, I believe, an important part of that testimony is our prayer life. It is one of those things that I believe gets put on the back burner in a believer's life. And the reason I say that is that it is easy to start the beginning of the year with a Bible reading plan. I keep one here in mine. It gives me something to read each and every day. For me, I finished Job this morning. And it's easy to say, here, this is what I'm physically going to do. I'm going to pick up my sword every morning. I'm going to go to the kitchen table. I'm going to read my two or three chapters. And then I go like this, and I sit it down. And, well, sure enough, the next thing that's on my brain, I go and do it. But I don't think that's how a good, solid Bible reading program should work. I think that if you want to get the most out of your scripture, out of your Bible reading, that prayer has to be an important part. And I think that the reason this is because it's the world that we're living in, right? Everything has to be done. Everything has to be fast, right? And it doesn't really matter how it happens. It just has to happen. And I know that we're all guilty of saying this phrase. And I told them folks up in the country this morning, I said, everybody's heard the phrase, "Well, let's go, you're burning daylight." Anybody heard that phrase, I'm sure, right? We're burning daylight. We're wasting time here. We got stuff to do, right? And in the summertime, when you got gardens to take care of and flowers to take care of and that kind of thing, in summertime, every hour counts, and you get a bunch in the summertime, right? Can't be burning daylight. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture tells us that we are to get alone with our God no matter what. Whether we're burning daylight or not, we are to have that private one-on-one relationship with God. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanks be made for all men. I did say all men. He goes on in verse 2 to say that we're supposed to pray for those people that are in a power and authority above us, even though, my goodness, we don't want to do that. We're supposed to. It also says in a few verses later in verse 8 that men need to pray everywhere and don't doubt. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes we get caught up in asking God for these extravagant things. And what happens is we get to the point where we think, you know what, I'm not so sure that God wants this to happen. And we start to carry this little bit of doubt, but we still ask anyways. And I submit to you tonight that The book of James says that if you don't think God can do it, you're better off not asking. He says, well, why should you expect to receive anything from God if you don't think He can do it? If you doubt Him. And Paul says the same thing to Timothy. When you're praying for those people, do not doubt the Heavenly Father, because He can do exceeding abundantly more than we can even ask or think. In Psalm 55 and verse 17, David prayed morning, noon, and evening. Right? Three times a day. My goodness, what in the world was he thinking? Right? It's hard enough for us. We get up in the morning, maybe that extra 5 or 10 minutes before work or before breakfast or whatever. And it's hard for us to sit down and talk to him just that short amount of time. Why in the world can we do it three times a day? Let me put another one on you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Right? And just to be funny, after our service this morning, we had a lunch, and I said, if I'm going to pray without ceasing, then I'm going to starve to death. Right? No Baptist wants to hear that. Right? We want to be able to eat. We want to be able to go on about our life. But if I'm going to pray without, you guys understand I'm taking this too far. Okay? But you understand what I'm saying. The scripture says that we are to pray. In Ephesians 6 and 18, he says, praying always. The armor of God, okay, that's where Ephesians 6 is. If you follow the armor of God and you get the helmet and you get the breastplate and you get the belt and you get the boots and you get the shield and you get the sword and you get all this stuff, what good is it if you don't know how to use it? That's the praying. We have military vets in our midst, you know, here tonight, and we did this morning. And I think about the time when they would send them off to boot camp, right? And I think about how not only did they want to get them physically fit with all the push-ups and sit-ups and all that stuff, and I never did that. You guys can clarify me on that if you want. But I see how it's portrayed in the movies, right? But honestly, they do that, but then they put you in scenarios where you don't know if you're going to get out or not. What is that for? That's so that they have the mindset of a soldier. So at the end of the gospel armor, Paul concludes that section with praying always to make sure that you're on constant communication with the source, not only that provides the armor, but helps you mentally and spiritually get through those battles and those wars. And so if it's important for Paul to mention this and it's important for David, why? Why is prayer so important? And one is that's where we commune with God. Right? The songwriter says, when I kneel in prayer with you, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Right? That is where we commune with Him. That's where we get alone with Him. That's also where we find peace, right? Philippians 4 and verse 7, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but with all things, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, right, comes from God. That's going to guard our hearts. It's going to protect our hearts. And that's where we find that. It's where we become molded to God's will, right? When God saves a sinner, you know, He's bringing him into His will, right? And our desires want to change. Psalm 37 and 4, right? Delight thyself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That verse does not say He's going to give you everything you want, so ask for it. It doesn't say it. That's not what it means. It means that when you delight yourself in God, your desires are going to be brought into His will, right? And then He's going to give them to you from there. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, for it is of God to it is God that works in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It is God that does that miracle changing work inside of us that brings us into His will, into His plan. In Psalm 91, we find out that it is where we find refuge. He that dwells in the secret place of God abides under the wings of the Almighty, right? I butchered that verse so bad, but that's where it's at, Psalm 91 and verse 1. It's where we find our strength to where we can keep going, okay? Because the world outside is a horrible place, but it's where we can find strength to get up, put one foot in front of the other, and keep going. And we can make time, I want to go back to this thing, this thought, that we can make time for the scriptures all we want, but it is in that private time with prayer that God can unleash new secrets. He can unleash new mysteries. He can unleash new thoughts that come from His Word, where He slowly, I don't think I get this right, illuminates the things that are found in Scripture. Right? It is in that time of prayer that that happens. And that's why it is important. So if prayer is that important and it's that powerful, how do we get better? How do we get better at this communing with God? And that's what I want you to see. And Jesus here in Mark 1 and 35, He gives us a pretty good example. And then number one, it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out. First thing you got to do if you want to get a better prayer life is you need to pray early. You got to pray early. I don't know about you, but I was taught as a young boy that the things that are the most important in life need to go first. Right? And when you get up in the morning, first thing we want to do is, well, not me, but most people, they go right to the Keurig, push the power button. That's the most important part of the day, isn't it? Well, or we got to have breakfast. And of course, we tell our young children that we got to brush our teeth and comb our hair and all that stuff. That's all important, right? But how much more important is our time alone with God? Shouldn't we start with that? Like, I know that I feel better. I think better. I tend to have a more joyful presence in my life when I spend my first thoughts in the morning with God. And it starts early. And I need to do that every day. And we'll get to that here in just a second. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Right? I've heard it said, and I don't know if I heard it said here or not, but I want to be that person, and I feel like all of us should want to be that person, is when we get up and our feet hit the floor, we want the devil to be like, oh no, he's up. Right? Well, when our feet hit the floor, we ain't hurting him when we're sleeping. But when we get up and we start talking to the Lord and we start getting our strength and we start getting our peace, if we do that first thing in the morning, we're going to have a greater impact on the things of the day. But we got to start early, right? Psalm 119 and verse 147 says, I prevented the dawning. And prevented in the King James Bible means to go before, okay? I went before the dawning of the morning. And cried, I hoped in thy word. Right? I went before the daylight, just like Jesus did. I went before the daylight. That's the perfect answer to that burning daylight thing. Is get up before the sun comes up. Right? Get up early. Get alone with God. And then when the sun rises, yeah, go on. Get up early. Go out on your front porch. Get on your swing. Get on your rocker, whatever. It's nice in the mornings. It's hot in the middle of the day, but it's nice in the morning. That's a sweet spot, right? Go get alone with God early. Early in the morning. And in all honesty, it wouldn't hurt any of us to set an alarm clock 10 minutes early to get up and talk to God. Imagine the impact that we could make if we would just get up that 5 or 10 minutes early and get alone with God. Not only the impact that it would make on us, but the impact that it would make on the world around us. I'm telling you, on Monday morning, I'm grouchy if I don't get alone with God. Okay? And anybody who goes to work on Monday morning after a long weekend, absolutely. Right? Second off, not only do we need to pray early, but we need to pray often. We need to pray regularly. We need to set a time to pray. Okay? If you're one of those people that has to plan out every minute of your day, okay, thank goodness I'm not that guy. But if you got to plan every part of your day, set an appointment. 8 a.m., talk with God. Even if it's for 10, 15, make an appointment with Him. You make an appointment for your doctors. You make an appointment with schools. You make all these appointments on our calendar. Make an appointment to sit down and talk with God. And do it often. Right? I say that I feel better if I get up and start early with Jesus. But if I only do that one day out of seven, I've messed the other six up. Right? It needs to be regular. Every single day. Prayer is to be persistent. Right? Luke, let's turn for a minute. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 5 says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you." Let's stop there for a minute. Is this a picture of us not wanting to be burdened with prayer? Is this a picture of us not wanting to be bothered or inconvenienced to sit down 5 or 10 minutes with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I don't know. But I will say that in verse 8, he says, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity." Let's talk that word right there for a second. That word means persistence. Sounds weird, but we're to keep asking, right? Those things that we want God to do, we are to ask until he gives us an answer, even if that answer is no. Keep asking. Be persistent in the things that you are praying for, right? It's one thing if we start praying for our vacation Bible school. Let's just pray for it one time, even though we still got 2 weeks left. No, keep praying. Keep praying that God would send kids here that we could plant seeds, that souls would be saved. Keep praying for those things. Be persistent in those things. And it says that he rose and he will give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. One person who, other than David, that prayed regularly was Daniel, right? Daniel got on his knees and prayed, and he prayed so regularly that the people that helped Nebuchadnezzar, right, who helped him set the decree that no one was to pray to anyone else but him, would be thrown into the den, right? Be thrown in. Well, guess what? It says in Daniel 6 that he went upstairs, that he got on his knees, he opened the windows, and he got on his knees before God. And as regularly as he did that, that is exactly how the people that wanted to hang him found him. It's because it was that regular. It was that often. And we know what happens as a part of Daniel's prayer. He got thrown in the den and nothing happened. Right? As a result of his prayer and his faithfulness and regularly praying to God, nothing happened. God shut the mouths of the lions. That's incredible. So we pray early. We pray often. And if you got your spot back there in Mark, it says that he got up early before it was day. Right? Let me go back and make sure I get it right. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place." A solitary place. Get away from any distractions that you can possibly think of when you are talking to God. A solitary place. In my center column reference, it has a note that says this is a deserted place, meaning he is out and he is alone, right? He wanted to be alone with his God. No one else, no people asking him for healing, no people asking him for food handouts, just him and God, nobody else. We see other times when he does this in Luke 5 and verse 16, after he had healed the man with leprosy, it says that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In the garden in Luke 22 and verse 41, you know, he takes the apostles with him and he leaves a bunch of them at the first gate, right? And then as he comes on in the garden, he takes his Peter, James, and John, his little inner circle. He takes them a little bit further in. But then not only does he leave the first bunch out, he leaves this bunch out too. And it says that he withdraws himself about a stone's cast, far enough to get away from them where their problems and their things are, that he can get alone with God and say, not my will, but thy will be done in this matter, right? We want God's will to happen. You know, and everybody's place is different, okay? It says that Jesus went into the wilderness. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 46, that he withdraws to the mountains to pray. Wherever that is, it doesn't matter as long as you are alone with God. Be in that solitary place with him. And the truth is, we're not alone. We're not alone. God is there. We're to be getting alone with our Heavenly Father, just you and him. No one else and no thing else. And I say that for this reason. Anybody watch Last Man Standing on the Tim Allen sitcom? Anybody? It's great, isn't it? Okay. There's one specific episode, okay, where his youngest daughter is she's growing up and she's getting ready to move away for college. Okay. And they go on this trip. I think it's like a rafting trip or something like that. And they go on this trip every year. And what Tim sees is he is seeing the time that he has with his college age daughter coming to a close, where she's out and about on herself. Okay. And he confronts her because guess what? She's getting older and she canceled their rafting trip for that year, right before she's supposed to leave. And what he said, that he goes in to confront her and says, I only have this much time left with you. I mean, and she's kind of acting like it's not that big a deal. And he says, I don't want to share this time with anybody. And he even goes as far to say, I'm not even that crazy about your mom being around. It's being funny, but God deserves our undivided attention as well, right? We are to get alone with him. How many of you are guilty of this? When you finally get to that point where you can pray like you want to and you get away, but you didn't completely get away, right? You get in that spot where you read the scriptures and, Lord, please show me, right? Open my mind that I may behold wondrous things from thy law, right? And about that time, you get in that sweet spot, the phone rings. And you ain't in that sweet spot no more. It's gone. Because it's distracted. Somebody calls and needs something. Somebody calls and wants something. Sure, you be that good Samaritan. Sure, brother, I'm on my way. But you still lost that sweet spot alone with your God. I'm bad about this one too. It's just the world we live in. I work in a fast-paced sales environment where the next email could be $300,000 order. Okay. So as soon as that phone goes off, whether I'm having a conversation with somebody or not, I got to check it. I'm wired that way. I don't like it, but I'm wired that way. We're all wired that way. That's part of our problem. Okay. That we got to have our world at our fingertips. Okay. That ain't good either. Right. That's not good either. We need to get in our closet, our prayer closet, Matthew 6. We need to get in that prayer closet, whether it be the riverbank, whether it be the mountains, whether it be the wilderness, whether it's wherever. And get alone with God, no distractions, no nothing. And commune with Him, right? Commune with Him, nobody else. Because that's where the true source of strength, peace, and comfort actually comes from, right? So not only do we pray early, we pray often, we pray alone, but lastly, we got to pray specific. Okay? Before we get there, go to Luke 18. And while I'm kind of leading to this point, we'll get there. I don't want you to take this. I don't want to get too far, you know, for this stretch, you know, where I say, Lord, I want you to show up at 7:31 at Elizabeth Baptist Church, and I want this person to come, and I want on this specific day, and so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying, okay? I don't want it to get to this point where it says, I want that new job at CAMC making $100 an hour, working only Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Anybody sign up for that one? Right? You understand that God's not working on our time, but working on His. But it doesn't make the request for specific requests different. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. In Luke chapter 18, start reading in verse 35, and I love this account. I love this account. It says, and it came to pass as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they went before him, rebuked him. That, see, I picture our world right here. I do. I picture the world in which we live right here, because we can speak up. But there's a world out there that's telling us to shut up. Be quiet. We don't want to hear about it. Right? But what's this guy do? I stand amazed at this guy's faith, because it says, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And it said, and we just talked about persistence, right? That's picturesque. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. Now, let's stop there for a second. He said, have mercy on me. He said, have mercy on me. What's Jesus' response? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Well, you go as far as say, he already asked, right? Have mercy. Have mercy. You could go that far to say he already gave Jesus his request. But he says, no. What do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. The request had to be specific, right? The request had to be specific. What do you want God to do? And I am as guilty as anyone else in this building. Maybe you're not guilty. I don't know. I am guilty of it. Saying, Lord, bless this person. And move on about my business. And the Lord's questioning me, well, what do you want me to do for them? Right? What do you want me to do for them? You said bless them. Well, what does that mean? We're supposed to pray for our spouses, right? And I say, bless my wife, Kendra, but what does that mean? Well, I would start with, I want her to be a godly mother, right? I want her to be a godly wife. I want her to be, if the time comes where she has to teach, okay? I want her, and Bible school's coming up, to help her with her teaching of the little kids, 4 and 5, right? 4 and 5. There's a reason that they put women in that spot. Just saying. Thank you. But I want these specific things, right? Patience, right? That's going to come. Okay. Provision, those kind of things. I want to pray specifically for them. In Matthew 6 and Luke chapter 11, first off, we're said, when you pray, when thou prayest, pray in this manner. Okay. And we're working on this in our men's meetings, but these look to me like a good set of specific prayer requests. First off, it starts with praise. It starts with us becoming part of God's will. It becomes our daily bread, right? When we get alone with God and we want Him to feed us. It has forgiveness in there. It has deliverance in there. Seems to be pretty specific examples. Not just, Lord, help this, right? And I think that if we want to be better prayer warriors, if we would hold to this idea of praying early, praying often, praying without distractions, directing our prayer, having a purpose, you get what I'm saying, being specific in our prayer, okay, that we'd be better at it. We would be better at it. So with that said, I'm going to ask you a few questions and we'll quit. We'll get us a song. Okay. What are you praising God for? What has happened in the last week? What are you praising Him for? It could be rain. It could be sunshine. It could be whatever. What are you praising Him for? My next thing is, what are you thanking Him for? What specifically happened to you this week, these last couple of days? What happened that you should be thanking God for? Who are you asking God to save? I'm as guilty as anybody else when I say, Lord, save my lost family members. Right? Not because He knows who they are. Right? But I would argue that what do you want me to do for you means save my aunt that lives in Macon, Georgia, you know, save my cousins that live there, you know, and call them out by name. Who are you asking God to save? Who are you asking God to heal? We live in a sick land. They got a little boy up in the mountains. He spent the last week in the hospital that they started the week saying that he had congestive heart failure. And he's only 13 years old. And he stands up in front of the church this morning, read the devotion like a champ. You never know it. And when the prayers happen, the doctors were looking at his EKGs all week. And they said each one was better. Each one got better. And they said they wouldn't be surprised if in 6 months it's gone. At the rate that it is increasingly getting better, they wouldn't be surprised if it was gone in 6 months. That's our God. Who are you praying with now? Now, I know somebody in Smart Elk in the congregation is going to say, well, you just told us to pray alone. James chapter 5 and verse 14 says that if any of you are sick, if any sick among you, let him go to the elders of the church, that they would pray over him, anointing him with oil, right? It says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? On the contrast to that, what I want to say is, who are you praying with? Do you have that person, not on our all-call system, okay? I appreciate that. Don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful thing. But who is that person that you have in your life that you call them with a prayer request and they stop what they are doing and bow before the throne of grace? And I would argue that you should be the same person to that person or to a number of people. It doesn't matter. But that you should be praying with someone. I want to be that person in Acts 4 and verse 24. It says when they lifted up their voices together with one accord and they poured their heart out before God, it says when they were done praying, the earth shook. I want to pray like that, that the earth shakes, that God's will is done. So what are you asking God to do in your life? Are you looking for a new job, a new house, a new joy, a new purpose, new desires, new friends, new ministry, a new relationship with God? Maybe it don't have to be new. Maybe it just needs restored. Psalm 51 and 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, right? I heard that the most under-taught doctrine in all of Scripture is the newness that comes to the sinner. All things become new. New friends, new habits, new whatever, right? I think the only way we can get to that point is through prayer. I think we should constantly be praying that these people get put in our lives. You know, we're supposed to, what's the book of Hebrews say? It says that we are to lay aside that sin that so easily besets us, right? The one that weighs us down. Get rid of that and add, right? Add these things, okay? Add these people, add these ministries, add these purposes to our heart's desire and pray for them. Pray early, pray often, pray alone, and pray specific. And I think that it would change us. I do. I think it would not only change us, but I think it would change the people around us. I know it would change our church. If people would get on their knees before God and ask, seek Him humbly, and I think good things will happen.